to Daniel chapter 5 for just a moment. Nebuchadnezzar was dead, the one who brought Daniel and the other young men down to Babylon. His son Belshazzar ruled in his stead. Chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to a thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple of God, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, might drink from those holy vessels. Well, while they did that, a man's hand, not an arm or a body, just a hand, appeared writing on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, written on the wall. And the king's knees smote together, trembled, scared everybody. And he sent for all of his astrologers and wise men and asked them what it meant. Nobody knew. They said, Daniel can tell you. So they brought Daniel. And verse 25 of Daniel 5, verse 25, where you are now, Daniel 5. Daniel said, this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians. Well, that impressed the king. I suppose the hand went away then. And so the king in verse 29 commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him, he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median of the Medes and Persians, took the kingdom, being 62 years old. That's where our message begins now. Darius is the king. Daniel is high up in authority and well thought of. So let's read chapter 6. You just have to read it with me, and I'm going to make some comments. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, these three men, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. Darius loved Daniel, genuinely held him in high esteem, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then said the presidents and the princes, those two other fellows and the 120, they sought to find occasion against Daniel. They're going to smear his reputation concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault with Daniel, for as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in Daniel. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We've got to get him where his faith, where he believes. We don't believe like he does, and we'll find it right there. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man, pray to any god or ask anything of any man, except of thee, save of the king, O king, he'll be cast into the den of lions. For 30 days, you'll sign a law that no one can ask a petition, offer a prayer to any god or man for 30 days except you. Now, O king, establish that decree and sign the writing that it shall not be changed. It be not changed according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. If it's a law by the king, the Medes and Persians, nobody can change it. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He that lifted him up. That pleased him to know him. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chambers towards Jerusalem. Daniel's a believer. You found that out in chapter 1. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed towards Jerusalem. Why towards Jerusalem? Well, the temple's there. And in the temple there's an ark, and on the ark there's a mercy seat. And on the mercy seat where the blood is, that makes atonement for the soul. And that's the reason he's looked in that direction. He's looking to Christ, our mercy seat, the blood of the Lamb. And he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. These men assembled and found Daniel praying. They were watching for it. They found him praying, making supplication before his God. And then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's law. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Is that what you've signed? The king answered and said, the thing is true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not, cannot be changed. Then answered they and said before the king, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he regardeth not thee, O king. He regardeth not the decree, the law that you've signed. He's making petitions 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, now there's the key to this story. The king heard these words, he was displeased with himself. See, he loved Daniel. He held him in highest esteem. He was the favorite of the whole kingdom. He was displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun all day long to deliver him. And then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is no decree or statute which the king establishes it may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said to Daniel, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he'll deliver thee. I can't. He can. I like that statement, don't you? Thy God will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Didn't sleep a wink. He wanted to deliver Daniel. He loved him, but he couldn't do it. Couldn't violate his law, which cannot be changed. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from these lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and cast them into the den of lions. Them and their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. Break their bones in pieces before they ever hit the bottom of the den. And why do you suppose so much scripture is given to this story? A lot of scripture there given to the... It's a popular story. I don't suppose there's anybody in this nation that's past 10 years of age that doesn't know this story. But very few know why it's here. And very few know the purpose of God which it serves. And that is to reveal the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this story is all about, like any of the Old Testament. Now, I know several things can be taught here. Number one, the faithfulness and courage of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart. And he was a servant of God, true servant of God that would not compromise the truth even if it cost him his life. That's one of the first things I see here. Like the apostle said to the people who put him in prison, we can't help but preach and teach those things we've seen and heard. And whether it be wise for us to submit to you or obey our God, you judge. Daniel obeyed his God. The second thing I see here that should be taught from this scripture is a true believer can occupy a place of leadership. A true believer can occupy a place of authority, prominence, and leadership and not compromise his principles. It's exactly right. I hear people say, well, you can't get in politics and stay honest. If you're honest when you went in, you will. Those trials will just reveal what you are. The reason you compromise is you never were honest. He says, an honest man will stay honest. A servant of God in any place you put him will act like a servant of God. That's what I see here. Daniel just was true to his principles. They were ingrained in him. He was true to them. Thirdly, I see something else here. That our God, you know, this king said, your God can deliver you, and my friend, he can. He can. He can deliver his people out of the most difficult, awesome circumstances. Our Lord said, Abraham, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? He's able to deliver thee. He can deliver us and his people out of the most difficult trials and troubles and circumstances. But if he doesn't, he's still God. That's, you know, they put the Hebrew children, they changed their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, threw them in the fiery furnace. And the king, before he did, he said, you think your God's able to deliver you? Well, they said, whether he does or not, he's still God. You know, he may deliver us, he may not, but he's still God. But here's the thing I see concerning this scripture, is Christ and his sacrifice in our behalf. But see, that's the story of all the scriptures. Our Lord said to the Pharisees, search the scriptures. In them you think you have life. They are they which testify of me. And our Lord Jesus Christ, teaching his disciples, he began back here at Moses and came all the way through the prophets to Daniel. And it says he began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded to his disciples all the scriptures concerning himself. This is about Christ. It's about Christ. To him give all the prophets witness. But now remember this. Remember that no type and no parable and no earthly example, no illustration found in the Bible or found anywhere else can accurately picture the person and work of Christ. There's no type and no picture that can accurately reveal Christ. No, an earthly story, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, an analogy. But it's imperfect because it's earthly. Take, for example, the Old Testament priest. You know that these sons of Aaron were types of Christ. You know that. I know that. But they're not perfect types. There are more things about them you could call an antitype. For example, there were many of them. He's one. Their priesthood was temporary. His is eternal. Their sacrifices were many. He one offering. Their sacrifices were animal blood. His was his own blood. They ministered on earth. He ministers in heaven. Their work was totally ineffectual. It was just pictures. He is effectual. So the priesthood is an excellent type of Christ, but there are ways in which it doesn't picture. And this is a good picture of our Lord's redemptive work, but there are a lot of areas we can't apply it. So don't try to, because it's an earthly story. But in this story, Doras represents God Almighty. Now right there you got a problem, but nevertheless he does. God's king, Doras was king. And he serves as a type of our, he was a sovereign king too, Doras was. Our God is almighty and Darius is a poor type, but he is, represents God Almighty here. And in this story, Daniel represents us. And I might say too, Daniel was compared to men perfect in all his ways and we're not. But nevertheless, he represents God's elect. Alright, let's look at that. First of all, Darius was persuaded by these jealous men to make a law. To honor himself. He made a law to honor himself. God has made laws to honor himself. That's right. God's laws are laws. Darius' law proceeded out of a pride and a haughtiness. God's law proceeds out of holiness and truth and justice. And his laws honor him. And these men persuaded this old proud king to make a law honoring himself. Well, God made laws to honor himself. Secondly, Darius' law was foolish. It served no good cause. None whatsoever. Except to feed his ego. It served no good. But God's laws are perfect. God's laws are holy. And God's law is not only the foundation of his kingdom, but it's the foundation of everything decent and holy and good. His laws are good. They talk about posting them, Ten Commandments and all in different places, not just the Ten Commandments, but all of God's laws ought to be posted, ought to be written here. Because they're perfect. His laws are perfect. For nations, for people, for families, for them. His laws are perfect. Let me read you a scripture. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All right, King Darius was king, sovereign. In his kingdom, only the king can make laws. In God's kingdom, only the king can make laws. God says, my law, my commandments. Christ said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And once that law is made by the king, Darius' kingdom couldn't be changed. Look at verse 15. The men assembled unto the king and said to the king, know, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians is, no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Let me tell you something. God's laws can't be changed. The law of the Lord is unchanging. He said, I'm the Lord, I've changed not. Well, we're in Numbers 23. Let me just turn over and read you this. Listen, Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent or change. Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? God's laws are unchangeable. Unchangeable. I am the Lord, I change not. All right, now, we've looked at the king Darius. Now let's look at Daniel. Daniel broke the king's law. He wasn't a good law, but nevertheless, he broke it. It wasn't a law that he should have kept, but he broke it. He broke it in Darius' case. He's a subject in Darius' kingdom, and he's broken the king's law. And in this respect, his condemnation was just in the eyes of these men. Just because he'd broken the law. And that's true of us. We've broken God's law. I do want you to turn to Romans 3. And here's our resume. Romans chapter 3. Here's our resume. Romans chapter 3. In verse 9. Talking about the Jew. Paul said, are we better than they? Better than the Gentiles? No. In no wise we've proved before both Jew and Gentile, they're all under sin. They've all broken God's law. It's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. If together become unprofitable, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. All right, here's a king made a law. And here's a man he loves has broken his law. Here's a king, sovereign, almighty, eternal God of heaven and earth, who made a law. And yet there's an elect people whom he's given to Christ, whom he loves. He says, with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with an everlasting love. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Loving kindness have I drawn you. He loves them. He loves his people. But they've broken his law. This king here, look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words that Daniel had sinned, Daniel broken his law, he displeased with himself. God's not displeased with himself, he's displeased with us. And he set his heart to deliver Daniel. And God set his heart to deliver us. And the king labored till the going down of the sun, couldn't do it. And all that night, he didn't sleep a wink. Why? Well, he can't set Daniel free and still abide by his law. His kingdom's gone. And nobody's going to pay attention to him after that. If he sets Daniel free and sets aside the law on behalf of this person because he loves him, justice comes before love and righteousness. The king was powerless to deliver. Powerless. He had to be just, but he wanted to be justified, but he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And that's the question before God. Turn to Job chapter 25. Job chapter 25. I'm talking about the people God loves. Christ said, I love my sheep. I know them, I love them, I call them my name. My Father gave them to me. But they've sinned. They're guilty. God can't clear the guilty. Scripture says God will by no means clear the guilty. Can't do it and be God. That's the reason Job asked this question, he and his friends, again and again. Job 25, verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? How can he be clean as born of a woman? Even the moon, it shineth not. The stars aren't pure in God's sight. God's holy. How much less man that's a worm and the Son of Man. It's a word. Verse 14 and 15 of this text, Daniel 6, intrigues me. Verse 15. These men assembled to the king and said, know, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree or statute which the king established can be changed. You can't set Daniel free. Don't care what you think about it, you can't do it. And still be king. But the next verse. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, put him in the lion's den, and the king spake and said to Daniel, your God can deliver you. Our Lord said, it's impossible with men, but it's possible with God. Your God can deliver you. Oh, don't you love that, Frank? Your God can deliver you. I can't. And a God of righteousness and holiness can't deliver you. But a God of grace and mercy in Christ can. Let me paraphrase a little bit. I'm talking about God's elect now. I'm talking about those whom Jacob have a loved, Esau have a hated. I'm talking about those he gave to Christ before this world began in a blessed everlasting covenant of grace. But they failed. They sinned. They sinned against God. Now listen. I'll take you back. I'll take you back before the foundations of the world. Back before time ever was. And the triune God speaks, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the triune God said, let's make man in our own image. And let them have dominion over all the earth. Let us have a kingdom of eternal righteousness, holiness, and happiness. Let's have a kingdom. The triune God said. Well, His holiness, God's holy, and His holiness speaks. And His holiness says, but man will not continue in holiness. The man you create will not continue in uprightness. But like Lucifer and the angels, man too will be lifted up with pride. And man will fall into sin and disgrace. That's just a fact. But God's justice speaks, and God's justice says, and when He does, when man sins, when man falls, and like holiness says, there'll be none good, none righteous, none that seek God. At their best state, they'll be altogether vanity. And when they fall, I must arrest them, every one. Charge them with treason and execute them. Got to do it. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? The love of God speaks. Mercy of God. God is love. God's holy, God's just, God's love. And love speaks. Mercy speaks. Cannot a way be found whereby men can be redeemed? Cannot a way be found that sinners can be restored? Cannot a way be found that men can be given a divine nature that will not fall? A divine nature like to thine own. Holiness, righteousness. Cannot a way be found? A way of redemption established whereby there can be a kingdom of sons of God and daughters of God conformed to the image of God's only Son, made like Him, whose goings forth had been from of old. Wisdom speaks. Christ is the wisdom of God. He's power of God. And wisdom speaks and says, there is a way. But only one way. If there can be found a man with the nature of God and the nature of a man, of flesh and blood, God to satisfy, man to suffer. If there can be found a man who can go to earth and yet never leave the bosom of the Father. If there can be found a man who's holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet numbered with them, the transgressors, as if they and he are one. If there can be found a man who can be tempted in all points by heaven, earth, and hell, and yet walk the earth without sin. If there can be found a man who can take upon him the full scope of God's holy law and obey it in jot and tittle. and take on him the full force of God's wrath and not complain. If there can be found a man who can die and still live, a man who can lay in the tomb and walk out under his own power, a man who can ascend to heaven in the form of glorified man and sit down at God's right hand as their intercessor and representative and say to God the Father, I'm here on behalf of all you gave to me and all for whom I die, and I will that they be with me where I am. And the Lord Jesus said, I'll be surety for him and for them and for all thy people, and I will perform all that is required of them and put away their transgressions and bring them home to thee. Now, my friend, if you know and have met and seen and fallen in love with this glorious Redeemer, then you can sing with me this last song. I'm free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has died. There's remission. I was cursed by that law and dead by that fall, but Christ has redeemed me once for all. Thy God shall deliver thee, and thy God will. My God is your God. He will. You not only can, he will. Let's sing that song, Max, number 205. 205, free from the law. God's law. Old Daniel came out of that lion's den, he's free from that law. They put him out. We're just as free.